Be prepared ahead of time before you see him start coming. Because once you see him, the bridegroom comes. What do? They go out to meet him. The others, we're not ready to go out to meet him. We can't go meet him. So then they get themselves caught up in the tribulation. And then when Jesus finally gets there, after the length of time of the, you know, from the first trumpet to the seventh trumpet, all the things that happen in between, when he appears, what happens? They're shut out. They are absolutely shut out. No, you can't come in. The door is shut. You know, this isn't an earthly wedding where it's like, oh, we're so glad you made it. Absolutely. Come on. It's okay. Yeah, I understand. Late. I run late a lot, too. This time it's not going to be, there's not going to be, no tardies given. You know, you're not going to escape. You're not going to be able to just slough it off and just sort of slink your way in the back door. The doors are going to be locked. The doors are going to be shut. So the time to get your oil in your vessel is now. And I got a lamp. I got an oil. I believe in Jesus. I confess that he rose from the dead. I confess it. I believe it in my heart. I confess the name of the Lord Jesus. I believe it in my heart that he rose from the dead. I'm going to be saved. That's enough. I don't need anything else. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, thank you. Thank you. I really have enough right there. That's that. If you start talking to me now, I'm going to get confused because they said, as a virgin, I just got to bring a lamp, you know, because we're going to meet the bridegroom. He could come in the middle of the night. So we need a lamp. And they all sleep. And then what? No oil left. Because it all burnt out in the night. You know, he showed up later than they expected. Let's look at the next parable, because I'm anxious to get into this. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 also gained other 2. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, The wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto them which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that's the parable of the talents. One of my favorites. And people always look at this and, of course, you know, they think of it in terms of money. Because that's what it is. The money that is given. He gives them money. And I don't want to think of it in money. Though you can, I'll tell you what. There is an aspect to which money is a part of it. But it is not the whole thing. What you do with your money. If he was trying to teach us about money, this is about the end of the world. This is about how he's going to judge things when he returns. To some are given more, To others are given a little more, and to others are given very little at all. And I talk about this all the time. It's like the workers in the vineyard. They all receive the same pay, though all did not work the same amount. In the eyes of man, that's not equal. And now here he says he gives it to them according to their different abilities. And of course, we're going to think of that in terms of, some people have more gifts, some people are good at teaching, and this and that, and other people are good at faith, and so on and so forth. Fine. But the point is, with what God gives us, the faith he gives us, the gifts he gives us, we are expected to produce. And I don't think of it in terms of that God needs more from us, but that he gives it to us as a trust in order to increase it. Not necessarily just for his own sake, but for our own sake. Because the servant who is faithful over much became ruler over much. And he gives us these things so that we would prosper in them. And that we would, and I mean in the things of God, like add to your faith knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, virtue to virtue, patience and to kindness, and et cetera, et cetera. We want to add the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We want to be profiting in all those things. You don't want to be a one-talent servant who says, from the moment I believed in Jesus, I was saved. And from that moment on, I didn't need to do anything else, and I didn't do anything else. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. If you have no works, you have no faith. Faith without works is dead, because it's just a meaningless statement. Because if it really meant anything to you, you would do the things that the scriptures say those who receive faith do. And your faith itself is a lie. That's why I have no defense for people who think all I got to do is believe, because you're wrong. You're wrong. The spirit in which they say it is wrong, because all you really do have to do is believe. All we really need is belief. Because belief, if we really have belief, it will cause so many other things to happen. So many other things to happen. And it's grace we really need, the grace of God. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the conduit through which we are saved. But grace is what enables it all. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But if we say we just have faith, and we add nothing to that, it's impossible for you to truly have faith and then have no more progress unless you've had your mind perverted into thinking that, and therefore you act on that faith.